Chapter 4 Lacus Mortis. Kurt sat on one of the back couches of Orpheus and crossed his legs again, then uncrossed them, then thought about contacting his father for the third time. He couldn't see out any of the buggy's windows and could only barely hear Mark and Debbie talking. Twice he'd tried to stand between the front chairs, and twice they'd ordered him back to the couch, like he was some kind of kid or something. In fact, Mark had been calling him kid since the day he arrived at Hades Base, and it was really starting to get annoying. He was pretty sure the older man fell into that large category of people who held a grudge against the Hausmans for one reason or another, and saw Kurt as a great way to let off some of that frustration. His father had warned him some people would react that way. He'd given Kurt a special address to contact if things got too rough for him to handle. It had also been clear he expected that to happen almost immediately. Kurt had sworn to himself he wouldn't use the address. Using it would just prove his father right. But not using it meant going along with the old man's ramblings about toughening him up and doing time in the trenches. Still, nearly a month into his time at Hades, he'd been tempted. They'd been driving for almost an hour when Mark raised his voice in the cockpit.
"We're almost there, kid. You better come up front now."
Kurt glared at one of the buggy's hanging plants and counted to 10, then he put on his best couldn't-care-less expression and strolled up to stand between the two seats. Debbie barely filled half of hers, while Mark's broad shoulders and hips stretched the safety harness. She gave him a token nod and then turned her attention back to the carnage. He saw a battleground through the windshield. A haze of dust still drifted above the ground. Bodies were splayed across the landscape as far as he could see. Rounded blobs of glistening white dotted the gray soil like swollen maggots. Kurt looked for landmarks.
"Where are we?"
"Sector 17, said Mark. "You were out here yesterday."
"I don't recognize any of this."
"Yeah, well, yesterday there were a lot more monuments, and that wasn't here."
The big man pointed out at the crater ridge looming half a kilometer in front of them.
"There's too many bodies," said Debbie. "We're going to have to go on foot from here or we'll start running over them."
She was a slim woman in her late 30s with raven hair and eyes that always seemed half-lidded. Kurt was determined to get her in bed before his next month at Hades ended. Mark muttered something under his breath.
"You want to stay here or go out with the kid?"
She glanced at Kurt.
"I'll take him out."
"Hey, no favors," said Kurt.
"Honestly, kid, I'd rather leave you here," Mark said, scratching his bald head. "But I don't feel good about you driving the buggy if something happens."
"What could happen?" Debbie smirked.
"What's the last thing a rookie says before dying?"
Mark laughed. Kurt smiled despite himself.
"Hades Base," said Mark. "This is Orpheus. It's a mess out here. Debbie and the kid are going to go in on foot, see what they can see."
Christine's voice echoed over their earpieces.
"Copy that, Orpheus. I'm going to be online with Discorp trying to get us some extra people. Let me know how bad it looks as soon as you can."
At the company name, Mark gave Kurt a quick side eye.
"Gotcha, boss."
10 minutes later, they were in their suits and climbing off the buggy's platform. Kurt wrestled the emergency kit out of its case, and they started down what remained of the path to the crater's rim. He let Debbie lead and noticed that, even in a spacesuit, her hips had a great rhythm when she moved. Shreds of coffin bags and their occupants covered the dusty ground. A few loose limbs were scattered here and there. An arm, a foot wrapped in a dark, expensive shoe. A well-manicured hand with three rings on the fingers. They passed a half-frozen corpse in a dark blue suit, missing both of its legs. The dead man's cloudy, frozen eyes almost matched his pearly skin, and tiny ice crystals dotted his face like frost. Bodies didn't decay on the moon, but most of these had a pale, emaciated look. Whatever moisture they'd held had boiled off in the vacuum of space. Scorched, shapeless blobs were scattered every few meters. Debbie dropped to a knee and gave one a poke with her gauntlet. A few stones stuck to it, but it shifted at her touch. Kurt tilted his head back and forth.
"What is that?"
"I think it was a tombstone," said Debbie.
She flipped the blob over and pointed at three numbers, 217, that had escaped melting. He looked at a few other nearby blobs and saw a large one that had the rough mass of an angel's statue he'd seen yesterday. A head with long black hair lay next to it. "So this thing came in hot enough to melt all the monuments, but there are bodies and coffin bags everywhere that just got torn up. That doesn't make sense."
"Huh," Mark said in their helmets. "Kid's not as dumb as he looks."
"Let's thank God for that,"
said Debbie. She gave Kurt a wink through her visor and climbed back to her feet.
"Let's go look in the hey!
She spun and flailed. In the low gravity, it sent her into a bounce, and she crashed against Kurt. Their helmets thudded together, and they fell to the ground. Dust rose up around them.
"What's going on?" shouted Mark.
"Son of a bitch," muttered Kurt. He shook his head inside his helmet. The hard sound of the impact rang in his ears.
"Debbie, what happened?"
"Something grabbed me."
"What?"
"Something grabbed my leg while I was standing up."
They rose to their feet and looked at the ground. A half-frozen arm reached up from the disturbed lunar soil. It still swayed back and forth with the momentum of her kick.
"Creepy," said Kurt.
"I'm telling you, something grabbed me."
"You probably got your boot caught on it when you knelt down," he said. "You tried to move away and it felt like it pulled you."
Mark cleared his throat in their speakers.
"I hate to say it, but the kid's probably right. Check each other out, make sure your suits are okay, and get a move on."
Debbie brushed the lunar dust from her visor and suit.
"Whatever, you're both assholes."
"Yeah, well, you scream like a girl," said Kurt as he picked up the emergency kit.
"I'm not going to bother checking the kid out," she announced. "It'd be an improvement for him if his suit sprung a leak."
"Oh, Debbie," he sighed. "All you do is check me out. I've noticed." She rolled her eyes at him while Mark coughed out a few laughs that echoed in their helmets. A gentle slope, dotted with more resin blobs and body parts, led to the mouth of the crater. It took them 10 minutes to climb the rough terrain. They rested at the top and looked across the scarred lunar landscape.
"Jesus, Mary, and Joseph," said Debbie. "You getting this, Mark?"
"Fuck yeah. On the plus side, I think we just beat the Lazarus disaster record."
The crater was a perfect circle, at least 100 meters across and 10 deep along the edge. Only the thinnest coat of dust layered the surface, and there were none of the bodies or blobified monuments that marked its outer edge. Closer to the center, they could see radiating lines of dirt and pulverized stone. At the middle, something sent shafts of sickly yellow light around the crater and back into the sky. Kurt and Debbie glanced at each other, then back to the sparkling prize at the center of the crater. She turned back toward Orpheus.
"You seeing that, Mark?"
"The light? Yeah. Wasn't sure if it was just a lens flare."
"Nope."
Thoughts of radiation and sterility and cancer rushed through Kurt's mind, followed by the address to contact if he wanted out. But he didn't want to give his father the satisfaction. Plus, Debbie and Mark didn't seem scared.
"You going to be able to climb back out?" asked Mark. "Those walls look pretty steep from here."
"It'll be tough," said Debbie. "But not impossible. I'm pretty sure we could jump it if we had to."
"Your call," said Mark. "I can come tow you out if worse comes to worst."
She looked at Kurt.
"Feeling adventurous?"
He shook his head inside his helmet.
You've got to stop making these offers when Mark is listening.
Debbie smirked and hopped into the crater. Her boots hit the slope and she slid down, kicking up a trail of dust. She waved her arms for balance and came to a halt just a few meters down. Kurt leaped after her but slipped. He pitched forward and smacked his helmet on the ground. His heart raced as he slid down into the crater, dust and rocks leaving long scratches in the reinforced plastic. At full gravity, he would have cracked the visor. He'd be dead.
"Kurt!"
Debbie yelled, lumbering over to him.
"Are you okay?"
He got his breathing under control.
"Yeah," he said. "Yeah, I'm okay."
"You don't deserve to be," Mark snapped in his ear. "Stop trying to show off and do your fucking job."
Kurt made a mental note to have Mark fired with extreme prejudice as soon as he had the power to make that happen. Debbie helped him to his feet, and they checked his suit again. The helmet was fine. The visor scratches, cosmetic. A gouge marred his left shoulder seal, but it still registered as solid. It took the two caretakers another 10 minutes to make their way across the crater, counting off paces as they went. Kurt tried to size the depression twice, but the floating dust deflected the laser and gave him bad readings. Mark grunted.
"All those particles in the air, is it hot in there?"
"Nope," said Kurt. "Geigers show nothing." He tilted his head inside the helmet, looking at the heads-up display again.
"Actually, I think both my Geigers are dead. I'm getting a reading of absolute zero."
"So am I,"
said Debbie, studying her own HUD. She looked at Kurt and shrugged.
"Either 4 Geigers died at once or we're safe."
"Not even background radiation?" asked Mark.
"Nothing," Kurt said.
"That's a little weird, isn't it?"
"Maybe they got miscalibrated," said Debbie.
"All 4 at once?" She shrugged in her suit. They reached the center of the crater. The yellow light turned their spacesuits to gold. Debbie pulled a brush from one of the emergency kit's pockets, crouched down, and swept the dust off the meteorite. Mark's whistle echoed in their helmets.